FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is, well, today is actually 3/5/20, but you'll be hearing this on 3/6/20 because it's in the afternoon and we're going to post it at 8 a.m. But in any event, as we speak, I'm watching the price of gold creep up. It's up $26.10 on the ounce. We're talking spot here. I don't look at contract prices. Silver, $1,732.14. We just got word that Dizzy Lizzy Pocahontas Warren has suspended her 2020 White House bid. This is interesting news, but everything is interesting now. There's no boring news out there, because if it is boring, it just doesn't get reported, even if it's important. Not all important news is interesting. Well, our good friend from tfmetalsreport.com, and you should go there, sign up today for the service. It's cheap and you will get your money's worth, especially in this market. I think it's really a must for the couple of bucks a month that it is. You really should sign up. But talking about Craig Hemke, a.k.a. Turd Ferguson. And Craig, it's good to have you back on. I was thinking about you last week. I really wanted to call you then, but here we are. It's this week. And we're almost above where we were last week in terms of precious metals, in terms of, well, not so much silver, but in terms of gold, it's taken back almost all its losses from last week. So interesting times here, huh?
No doubt about that, my friend. And thank you for reaching out. It's always fun to get caught up. Yeah, last week was interesting, no doubt about that. And it probably merits some discussion about what actually happened. I don't think anybody was selling physical gold. The media narrative was that gold is no longer a safe haven because, well, what's no longer a safe haven and never has been are gold futures contracts, which give hedge funds and the like exposure to price. But nobody was out there selling physical gold. You can talk to any bullion dealers you want. You find out that's the case. And it's very important, as you said, to understand that, yes, it seems like timetables are being sped up due to these unforeseen circumstances of this, you know, virus that Kerry, I don't know what to predict with it, because I wasn't around in 1918 and 19, and I don't have any weekly charts to show how gold was trading back then.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of flying by the seats of our pants, but there are some things that people need to understand about what's driving price and why it's going to continue to go higher, virus or not. And I suppose we can discuss those things today.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Good idea. So, yeah, we have this coronavirus. My belief is that this was just an excuse for the market to go higher. It's been poised, and the black swan, call it whatever you want to call it. But the point is that gold was ready to go up, and this was the catalyst.
Yeah, you know, what we focus on dollar price gold all the time, right? It was a dollar price that went to all-time highs in 2011 and then pulled back. It is still not back to the all-time high levels. We're about, I don't know, $250 below there. But gold priced in other currencies, from the euro to the yen, you know, the yuan, I mean, you just go around the planet. Gold priced in those currencies is at all-time highs, and that's just another sign that gold price in dollars is also headed back to all-time highs. But the critical thing that people need to understand is that there is now demand for gold in all its forms. Again, whether it's these future contracts that can be cast to the wind, you know, as on the, you know, whims of the machines that trade them, or whether it's ETFs, mining shares, unallocated accounts, you know, whatever. There's demand for gold. And the primary driver of that is interest rates. The primary competition for gold as safe haven is a U.S. Treasury bond. Has been that way now for decades. And the yield, the interest now that you can get on a U.S. 10-year Treasury note is under 1%. The yield you can get on a U.S. 30-year Treasury bond is just barely more than 1.5%. When you factor in the loss of your purchasing power due to inflation over the life of those notes and bonds. You are, in fact, losing money. It's a guaranteed loser. Okay. You might get 1% in interest, then get your money back 10 years from now, but your purchasing power has been declined by, you know, cut by an accumulated 25 or 50%. You've lost real money. That there is a stunning fundamental reason for institutions, hedge funds, individuals around the world to own gold. And as long as that trend continues, and boy, we sure don't see it changing, that's just going to always create a bid. You've seen gold bounce right back this week after the paper sell-off last week, and dips will continue to be bought, and soon we'll be back to those all-time highs in dollar price gold as well.
Yeah, and we're very close to it. I've got a theory. I believe that silver doesn't take off until gold hits 1750, which is midway between 1500 and 2000. It's all-time high, close to 2000. We didn't quite make it. And at that point, I think the resistance to owning gold and the belief that it's going to make new highs is going to dissipate. And then your smaller investors will effectively look towards silver because gold will be out of their price range.
Yeah. And we've already seen this, actually. Again, the silver futures get dumped, right, by traders with margin calls and, you know, liquidity needs and things like that as the stock market's going down last week. But I just spoke yesterday with a guy by the name of Ken Lewis, who's the CEO of AppMex and One Gold. AppMex is, I think, the largest online bullion dealer in the U.S., so it makes it one of the largest in the world. I mean, the CEO is going to know this stuff, right? He said that last week, Wednesday through Friday, the biggest volume silver days they've had in years. And so people are already having that substitution effect for the real thing, you know, where, you know, times get tough. You don't buy steak, you buy hamburger kind of thing. You look at gold and you go, oh, geez, I can get 100 ounces of silver for every 1 ounce of gold. Okay. Yeah. That, you know, silver hasn't gone up yet. You may come up with all these rational reasons for buying it. And I think you've nailed it. We spoke last year, Kerry, about the idea that the paper silver market, that digital derivative market called the COMEX, where these derivative contracts are traded, is monopolistically controlled by JP Morgan. They've got about 150 million ounces in the vaults that back up the exchange. That's more than half of the total silver there. That allows the CFTC, if you want to put it that way, to grant them exemptions from the position limit rule. 150 million ounces can be hedged with 30,000 COMEX contracts, which JP Morgan puts on, takes off, keeps price in a range, and makes a consistent, significant quarterly profit for their trading desk. Knowing that, and knowing that gold can't be controlled that way, you and I last year talked about the gold silver ratio going to 100.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember.
You know, I thought maybe it'd be $1,600 gold and $16 silver. Well, we're damn close to $1,700 gold and $17 silver. I wouldn't surprise me in the least. But at some point, yeah. I mean, just rational human beings take over like they did in purchasing physical last week, and that GSR will start to come down.
Yeah. And so the ratio is destined to come down because it's demand differential right now, and it's manipulation on the part of Du Bois holding down silver. They're not able to hold down gold as much, a bigger market,
right,
all over the world, right? And
right.
So we're heading higher. Nenner says by the summer, it'll start its ascent to 2,500. It could go more than that.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Otis Gold Corp. is a gold development and exploration company with quality projects in the pro-mining state of Idaho. Otis's flagship Kilgore project has a resource of 961,000 gold ounces, and its recently published preliminary economic assessment demonstrated an impressive post-tax IRR of 53% at $1,500 gold. In addition to the significant expansion potential at Kilgore, Otis is exploring its highly prospective Oakley project. This Carlin-type gold deposit already has an inferred resource and previous near-surface drilling intersected 123 meters of 0.69 grams per ton gold. Otis Gold Corp. trades in New York under the ticker OGLDF and in Toronto under the ticker OOO. That's triple O. To learn more, go to otisgold.com. That's otisgold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Yeah, that's always the question. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years now, and I get asked because it seems like everybody that does what I do get asked from time to time, you know, what's the right price, right? Dollars per ounce. And you see these things from time, you know, $2,500, people say $10,000, you know, all these things. And I guess I'm expected to make that same kind of, what I always say is I have no idea. I really don't, because we don't know how many ounces there are with free, clear title. Every ounce of gold in the world, and silver too, for that matter, has been leveraged and re-leveraged so many times that we, what gets traded are these, you know, unallocated accounts and futures contracts and all the rest. We have no idea when it boils down to actual physical gold with clear title, you know, but we have no idea how many ounces there are. And if you don't know how many ounces there are, how can you decide what the right price is, right? I mean, that's that ounce part is part of the fraction. I mean, it's the denominator. So we gotta, we don't know what that is. But I clearly, with global asset allocation to the precious metal sector, still only at around 1%, it goes to 2%. All of that cash, I mean, that's, I don't even know what, trillion in cash, couple trillion in cash that comes into the sector. You get all this new cash chasing what is really a finite amount of investment possibilities. Prices are going to go up. I mean, that's just econ 101, Carrie, you know that.
Yeah. Yep. That's true. And they've been, they think they've repealed the law of supply and demand and economics, but they're going to be proven wrong.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And so now we just see what happens. This is such an unprecedented development, this virus. You know, I think it's, we've been all over this at TF Metals Report, man. I remember on January the 20th was the first day that it was reported by the Chinese that there was human to human transmission. On January the 25th, I reached out to my friend Chris Martinson, who I'm sure you know, and had him on a Saturday. We spoke on a Saturday, January 25th, record a podcast about where he thought this was headed and the steps people need to be taking now to prepare and what their risks were. And Chris is, I mean, he's been all over it and he's done the Lord's work, man, in trying to warn and educate as many people as possible, though YouTube and Google and the like have done everything they can to keep it from doing it for some reason. But anyway, Chris said back then, you know, and he's, again, proven correct. The primary risk for anyone, you, me, most everybody listening, is, you know, you get from this, maybe you get the cold sniffles even. It's really only 1 in 5 that might require, you know, some type of hospitalization or treatment. Correct. And the death rate, though significantly, you know, 30 times higher than the flu, is still likely going to impact those with compromised immune systems. You know, somebody that's smoking unfiltered Camels every day since they were age 15, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Our personal risk is instead that you're going to get stuck at home. You're going to be watching Netflix for a month, that kind of thing. And you've got to have the personal supplies to be able to do that, because the just-in-time delivery system that we all, you know, deal with, where your grocery store is restocked every day, is probably going to come to some kind of halt. And if you're not prepared, and then you got to know if, you know, if your city has been told to, you know, kind of self-quarantine, grocery store may not even be open, right? They got to have people there to stock the shelves and ring the register. And so we've been telling people, you know, since January 25th, basically, that you need to use this time prudently. You know, if you buy yourself some, you know, some non-perishable goods, you know, you stack them in your basement, you know, you throw some stuff in your freezer. I mean, if this all passes in 90 days and you don't need to eat those non-perishables, well, then take them all down to your local, you know, food, Catholic Charities or Goodwill or, you know, food kitchen. I mean, you'll still do something good with it. But in the meantime, you should be preparing for, you know, what would be a rather significant inconvenience at best.
Yeah. Well, my feeling is the illness itself probably going to recede. It is flu-like, SARS-like, and we're coming to spring. If you notice, right, there's been very little of the activity disease in the southern hemisphere, which is having summer right now.
Yeah.
Because these viruses do go dormant if I had to take my guess, it's probably due more to sunlight, more right. sunlight and more UV rays that kill them off, because we know UV rays do. So, but the danger really isn't the disease. It's the response to the disease, the panic. And right. that's really the issue here. And,
right.
And there is no way for the government to manage this. If they do what China did, it only gets worse. If they effectively don't respond to it, then it gets worse. And nobody believes the government, because we've been having this confidence crisis for years now, and respect and confidence in the government continues to diminish. So really, there is no way to stop the panic, other than for what they're doing in Iran, where the they're all licking some shrines and all exposing themselves to it. That's going to cause a panic. It's really the panic. It's not the disease. This isn't the Black Plague. And I'm not minimizing it, don't get me wrong, but it's because it's very dangerous to the global economic system.
And we have
system.
Different treatments and medical facilities and everything else that goes with it in 2020.
Yeah.
And two things there. It is noteworthy that the Spanish flu, the history that we have of it from 1918 and 1919, is it too receded during the summer months of 1918. And you're right about the UV rays. Some people think that being outside, obviously you're away from people, but you're also, your body naturally produces vitamin D from sunlight. And that vitamin D somehow boosts your immune system. A lot of people have thought that for years. And so there's a connection there. The problem with the Spanish flu then, by October of 2000 or 1918, it came back. And that's when, you know, that next winter is when it really did its damage. Economically, though, is what this, that's the impact. I mean, we've already seen economic measurements in China that have just gone through the floor. We may not, you know, have negative, you know, starkly negative GDP growth and stuff like that, but the bond market is anticipating that. And what people, again, you think about this in terms of the financial crisis, all the way even up to last fall, when all of a sudden this repo and liquidity crisis reared its ugly head, and the banks didn't have enough liquidity to operate on a daily basis, and the Fed had to open these what are called repo facilities to act as kind of a pawn shop to supply cash to the banks on either an overnight or a 2-week basis. And the Fed responded with that. They responded by blowing their balance sheet back up over $4 trillion, restarting QE by monetizing the debt, all that kind of stuff. Well, when you start evaporating stock market cap, I mean, the U.S. stock market's down by 10%, whatever it is, as we speak from the highs. That's about $3 trillion. In market cap that has just evaporated, just poof. Not that that's all cash that ultimately would be in the system, but it's a significant amount of market cap that went poof. You know, here the Fed is trying to fight, you know, $100 billion of daily liquidity and all the measures they've taken in the last 6 months to do that. If the stock market continues to fall, and if economic activity grinds to a halt and tax receipts to the government fall down, you know, collapse and that kind of thing, the steps that these central banks are going to take to keep their plates spinning from a liquidity standpoint and from a debt monetization standpoint are, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. And it really, it's all about the economic fallout from it. It's a little different than in the early 20th century, because the fact is there are a number of vaccines that are going to be rushed to the market. Interestingly enough, a good friend of mine, one of my Starbucks crew, his brother was head of the National Cancer Institute. He was on the National Institute of Health, a board member, and is a professor of epidemiology at a very noteworthy university. I don't want to give any info that will enable you to identify him, because I haven't spoken with him and I haven't gotten his permission. But what he said is, if it goes dormant in the spring, we're fine, because we'll be totally prepared and have the vaccine ready and a lot of antiviral drugs that effectively, one good thing that Trump has done is gotten rid of the FDA rules and pushed these things that would have taken 20 years to get approval, push the testing through. So if we make it through to April without a huge outbreak, then by next year, it's not going to be a factor. The key is we don't know if it's going to go dormant in the spring. It appears that way because, in my opinion, the fact that it hasn't gotten exposed that much in South America. The only case in Brazil, the person came from Iran or something. So it's certainly a possibility. But the economic damage that it's wreaking because we're humans and we react to amorphous kind of ethereal threats in a certain way that is very difficult to break. I mean, I was just on a plane coming back from Toronto thinking, well, how many people here are infected with the coronavirus, you know?
Right.
You just can't help but think that because it's just the way we're wired. And that finds its way into the economy. And if you don't believe it, just look at China.
Right. And Kerry, just for people listening, I mean, I just make this as simple as possible. I mean, the U.S. was already expected to have about a $1.2 trillion annual deficit here in this fiscal year that ends at the end of September, right? And we were tracking right on it all the way through January. All right, well, what's that deficit? Let's just say the government spends $4.2 trillion a year and they take in $3 trillion in tax receipts because that's the only way they get money. And your deficit is $1.2 trillion. Well, if economic activity grinds, you know, slowly to a halt or just really gets knocked back, I mean, everything is taxed, right? That plane trip that you took, that anything that affects your income or anyone's income means there's less tax receipts to be paid, not only at the state and local level, but the national level, all that kind of stuff. So what if instead of $3 trillion, tax revenue this year is 2.5? Well, now all of a sudden the deficit is 1.7 trillion. Well, where's that extra $500 billion going to come from?
Oh, we know that.
So anyway, all of this stuff, this is, again, this is important for people to understand. And last week in what was a shameful alleged reporting from places like Kitco and other places that for whatever reason people trust for their news, the headlines blasted on Friday that gold is no longer a safe haven because it went down when gold went, when the stock market went down. Gold went down because futures contracts were liquidated. They are not a safe haven. Those markets are controlled by banks. They pull the strings. They can screw you at any time. Okay. What's important for people to understand is that drop back on last Friday of $70 or whatever like that, that was driven by liquidity needs first. Around the globe. So they have to sell because they're selling anything that's got a bid, right? And then the other part is, if you bought gold futures anytime after Valentine's Day through last Friday, you paid somewhere between about, I don't know, 1610 and 1690. Well, as price fell through the 16s, all of a sudden you're underwater.
Yeah, major.
And now you got to put up even more money because you bought it on margin. And now and you're like, screw this, I'm out. All right, that plunged price to 1570. If you look at that market as being, think of all those, all that hot money that got thrown right back out last week. Think of that as kindling for this cascade downward. Well, that downward took us all the way to 1570. At this point, any trader, hedge fund, whatever, that ran the risk of, you know, being down, can't afford to be down, need the liquidity, can't afford the margin call, all that kind of stuff. Well, they've been blown out all the way down to 1570. I mean, and if you didn't sell on Friday at 1570, you're sure as hell not selling now at 1660 or wherever we're back to. So all of a sudden now there's kind of a floor there, right? I mean, it's not saying we can't have a waterfall again, but I mean, man, it's not going to be like last Friday until we get below 1570 and you start clearing out some of the kindling again.
Exactly.
So from here, dips will be bought as long as these conditions continue. And that has repercussions, not only for the metals and anybody trying to buy some and add some, but for things like the mining shares too. And so now's the time. You got to be paying close attention. You got to be thinking, you got to be preparing, you got to be planning and listening to podcasts like this one. It's one of the best things you can do.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, we knew this was coming. It took 9 years for it to come. But now that it's here, one thing I want to go back to is the repo disaster.
Yeah.
So we found out later, and it's all coming into place now, Craig. We found out later the Bank for International Settlements, I think it was, or somebody said, JP Morgan Chase pulled out of financing the repos. They were no longer buying treasuries and giving cash out because they knew this was going to happen. They saw it coming. They pulled out. The Fed popped in to take their place because otherwise the market would have gone kaputsky, and that would have had a cataclysmic effect on the U.S. and the world economy. It would have shut down within minutes of the repo market going up to 10 or 15%. Now we find out these hedge funds, after the market really got slaughtered last week, they were probably the ones making the redemptions, and they had to be bailed out, which is probably what happened, which is why we see the Fed pumping even more money into repos now, right?
Right. Yeah. So those are all the levers that were actively being pushed and pulled and everything else. And it continues. I mean, just today, the Fed, the last time they met back at the end of January, put out this schedule, said, we're going to start trimming the amount of repo cash we offer on a daily basis. And it's down to $25 billion or something like that. Well, the request today was $85 billion.
And they're not going to say no.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Trilogy Metals is a world-class developer in Alaska's Ambler Mining District. The company already possesses 8 billion pounds of copper, 3 billion pounds of zinc, over 1 million gold equivalent ounces, and now over 77 million pounds of cobalt. Trilogy's Arctic project boasts an after-tax net present value of $1.4 billion with a 33% IRR. Trilogy is led by an experienced management team with proven success in discovering and developing projects in Alaska. The company is well capitalized, has no debt, and possesses strong institutional support. Trilogy trades on the New York and Toronto exchanges under the ticker symbol TMQ. To learn more, go to TrilogyMetals.com. That's TrilogyMetals.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, no, they had to say, oh, this is just oversubscribed. Anyway, whatever they're doing, it's not going away. These are going to become a permanent part, a standing repo facility, as they call it. The Fed will do anything. Remember who they're owned by, right? It's the banks.
Yes.
They're not Federal Reserve is nothing to do with the federal government or any public institution. It's a private corporation owned by its member banks. Their number one priority is to serve their member banks. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they will always take action. Yeah. You know, if a secondary or tertiary impact actually seems to help people, okay, fine. But their primary goal is to help the banks. And so they will stand at the ready to flush as much new cash out there. People be damned. Savers be damned. Dollar devaluation be damned. They don't care. They're going to do whatever they can to help their banks. And people need to understand that going forward with this virus and the economic impact and everything else, all the debt that's now going to need to be monetized, everything else, the Fed is going to keep doing all that they've been doing and then some. And that has significant implications for what you do and what I do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, the lender of last resort, that's what it was created for. And that is what it did during the financial crisis. That's what it's done during a number of crises that have taken place since its founding back in the early 1900s to now. It's over 100 years old now. And they're going to go down with the ship, basically, if that's what they need to do. Whatever it is to protect the nation's largest banks and the rest of us be damned. Well, anyway, this is the time where I ask you for a prediction in a year. And you can beg off or whatever.
But, well, please link. I think he did last time too. The forecast I put out in January. I try to do that every year. At least I have for several years now. I'll send it to you again, Carrie, so you can put it on this page. It was called 2020 Foresight. The most interesting thing is that you know how the image that comes to mind as I'm saying this is like a figure skater. You know, and the figure skater's got her arms out and she's twirling in a circle, and as she pulls her arms in, she spins faster and faster. Mm-hmm. That's the metaphor for the world at this point. Last year, I knew the rates weren't going higher, they're going lower. So we issued a forecast in January 2019 that said, even though gold had gone sideways for 6 years in a row and nobody was expecting it to go higher, I thought we'd be 1480 to 1520 by year end. And we got to those levels and more by August. I mean, so it was like, well, okay, this is speeding up a little bit because the Fed was cutting and everything else that they were doing. And then we finished the year right at 15-20. Well, the thing I wrote this year, I said, you know, we're already got, you know, the way the market internals work and the price is set by the futures contracts and stuff. I thought the first step would be 16-50 and then on to 17-50, 1800. Thinking, I don't know, summertime? We'd get to 1650 and we were there by the 4th of January or whatever it was with the war. We're damn close. And now we're, you know, we got all the way to 1690 10 days ago and we're 1660 as we speak. It's just almost impossible. Like I said, I don't have any charts to tell me, you know, they help me to, you know, say, oh, here's what happened last time there was a global pandemic. So it's impossible to say, and things are moving so fast now, Kerry. I know. The only thing, really, the only advice I could give anybody is just to use this time wisely. You know, read the, observe the bigger picture, not the day to day, tick for tick. Oh my God, this gold went up one day and down the next. Observe the bigger picture and, you know, prepare accordingly, both personally and financially.
I couldn't agree with you more. It always pays to be safe and be prepared. Then, you know, have a plan and just be ready for anything. I mean, the plan's only going to go so far, but people who have a plan are much more likely to get through it than people that don't. Anyway, hey, go take a look. tfmetalsreport.com. Make sure you sign up. How much is the service? It's so cheap. I'm like embarrassed to even mention it here.
You think you're embarrassed. Look, I last thing I want to do is think I'm some kind of all-knowing wizard or promote myself as such and charge people $100 a month. Plus, why would I want to price people out? I mean, at this point, I'm kind of embarrassed that for some of the stuff we discussed, I charge anything for it, because why is the Washington Post and New York Times and all of these online outlets putting up a paywall for, you know, the public service of informing people about this virus?
Yeah.
I mean, I see an article from the Washington Post, you know, about the virus, and I want to go read it, and it tells me I got to pay, $10. What?
I call that anyway, an avoid wall.
I as a small businessman, I got to pay the bills. My health insurance has gone up fivefold since Obamacare went into effect 10 years ago, that kind of stuff. So it's $12 a month, 40 cents a day. I do analysis every morning and podcasts every afternoon. But really what you're getting access to is the community of people at my site, TF Metals Report, and all of the legwork that they do every day, scouring the internet for information, all the links they provide to the threads and the forums. I think that alone makes it worthwhile.
Hey, I'm a subscriber. It's stellar. I can't say enough good things about the work that you do. And you've been spot on, you know, normally, okay, the way it's worked over the past 9 years, the cycle people have been the ones who've been more or closer to what's going to happen than the other fundamental people. But you have been the standout in that.
Thank you.
You told me until that Japanese yen gold trade goes away, nothing is going to happen in gold. Nothing. And sure enough, you were correct. And you
finally
made
did.
Other, yeah, made other astute observations that have all come to pass. So when I say the cycle guys have called this market better than anyone else, the exception I make is your work, because it's really
well,
been first rate. And you know how many people I have on my show.
True.
And, you know, it's over 6,000 episodes since I started, and over 1,000 people. I don't even know how many people I've had. And for me to say that, it means a lot, because I listen to these people. I listen to what they have to say, and very few of them, they might be very intelligent, know what they're talking about, but very few of them have actually been spot on where we've actually seen this turn out the way they said. So we appreciate that. TFMetalsReport.com. Check out our site, FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Send us an email. Tell us what you think. I mean, really, Craig, you are the best out there by far. KL@KerryLutz.com. You know, the Twitter feed's @KerryLutz. Craig, we'll talk to you again real soon. I have a feeling it'll be sooner rather than later.
Well, thank you again for those kind words. I very much appreciate it. And Kerry, yeah, take care of yourself down there. Keep those hands washed, and we'll all get through this together.
Hey, well, I figured out what to do, because some people say, and it's just a little hack, some people say use the hand sanitizer. Other people say wash your hands. So what I figured out is, hey, you know what? I'll wash my hands. And then if I missed anything, I'll throw the sanitizer on there and that'll kill off the rest of it.
Perfect.
Now, that's like a little OCD, I will grant you. But basically, neither of them alone is really going to do the job. So you got to do something else. Anyway, yeah. I'll leave it at that, man. Hey, thanks. Be well. We'll talk to you again soon.
All the best, my friend.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.